This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. In portions of the West and Midwest, they're clearing several inches of snow. There have been at least four storm-related deaths in the South, with tornadoes in the Florida Panhandle and strong wind and heavy rain all the way up the East Coast. CBS News Boston's Tammy Mutasa reports on PREP in Hyannis, Massachusetts.
All this rain and wind is a powerful combination that could be destructive. That's why hundreds of Eversource power line and tree crews are gearing up for whatever Mother Nature blows. Eversource actually brought in 680 extra crews from Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and Michigan to tackle that response.
The White House says it just learned today that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is being treated for prostate cancer and a complication after surgery. CBS News Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. John LaPlante.
It is especially a problem in black males. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's about 1 in 8 in white males and 1 in 6 in black males. They tend to be diagnosed later and have a worse prognosis. So it's an opportunity to raise awareness about it in terms of discussing about screening.
Meantime, the White House chief of staff has ordered cabinet heads to notify his office if they cannot perform their duties. A new labor rule addresses the classification of certain workers as independent contractors. CBS's Linda Kenyon with details.
The Biden administration rule replaces the Trump-era rule that lowered the standard for classifying employees as contractors. Contractors do not receive minimum wage protections, nor do they qualify for certain benefits like health care coverage or paid sick days. Companies like Uber, Lyft, and other so-called gig working platforms say they do not expect this new classification to affect their business model. The new rule officially takes effect in March. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, The White House.
You may notice a lot of businesses near yours have gone dark since the pandemic. CBS's Jason Brooks.
Moody's Analytics reports that office vacancies hit a record high in the fourth quarter at just under 20%, topping the prior highs set in 1986 and 1991. It was the largest quarterly increase in office vacancies since the first quarter of 2021.
New research from Columbia University shows that bottle of water you're drinking contains more plastic than previously thought. Penn State's Dr. Sherry Mason studies plastic pollution.
Should we be drinking tap water over bottled water? Absolutely. Statistically, it's just a lot safer for you than bottled water.
Meta says it will start hiding inappropriate content from teenagers' accounts on Instagram and Facebook, including posts about suicide, self-harm, and eating disorders. Meta's announcement comes as the company faces lawsuits from dozens of U.S. states alleging it harms young people. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wet, heavy snow fell in much of southern and eastern Wisconsin until late on Tuesday. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells Jane Matinier that 40-mile-per-hour winds will keep driving hazardous until the snow ends.
When you get underneath one of those snow bands, you'll see some snow accumulating a lot quicker out there, making it harder for the plows to keep up with. But they've been doing an awesome job so far. Mm-hmm. I've been checking cameras across the state. Hats off to you guys.
Wet, heavy snow is causing some power outages. Governor Evers says he's having a hard time finding a new Department of Natural Resources secretary. The Republican-controlled state Senate fired 8 of his appointees to different boards and commissions last fall. Evers says some candidates he's considered tell him they don't want to put their families in that situation. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers move up in the top 25. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers, after beating Nebraska over the weekend, moving up 6 spots to the number 15th ranked team in the nation. Marquette fell out of the top 10 after losing to Seton Hall. The Golden Eagles now ranked 11th. NBA, the Bucks with another loss at home, this time to the Utah Jazz, 132-116. Damian Lillard out due to personal reasons. Fans starting to boo last night at Fiserv Forum. Giannis says he can't blame him.
I think we have great fans, but like, I don't. The league, if you don't play hard, you don't give everything to the team, there's times that you might get booed. I'll boo myself. I was like, I heard the boo and I was like, boo. I was like, In my head, I was bullying myself.
Charles Barkley on TNT.
They're going to have to find a way to get better defensively. This is what Adrian Griffin's got to come in and say, hey, guys, we're scoring enough points. But does he have the personality to challenge those guys? Because when you win games, you don't address things. They're awful defensively.
That's Charles Barkley with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warnings continue. Snow showers and windy. Gusts at times 30 to 40 miles an hour with areas of blowing snow. Up to another inch this evening with snow tapering overnight. It looks mostly cloudy for tomorrow. High temperatures in the low 30s. Right now it's 31.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. It's good to be back. Good to be back live on the air. A lot to talk about. A lot's happened. There's lots happening every day and every second. A couple of things I'm going to start with right now. Trump's lawyers arguing for immunity in the D.C. Court of Appeals today. I've heard a lot of crazy legal theories in my time. As a practicing lawyer in politics, radio, but of all the crazy stuff I've heard, this has got to take the cake. Here's what these characters say. Trump's lawyers, D.C. Court of Appeals, Judge Tanya Chutkan has already ruled that he does not have immunity for criminal offenses that he committed while in the White House. Well, here's what they're saying. Here's what Trump's lawyers are saying. As long as he was president, and even though he lost the election in November of 2020, he stayed on being president till January 20th, 2021. And frankly, that's an improvement. FDR's first term before they changed it, the outgoing president stayed on till March. In other words, from November to March, even if he was a no good Nick, and even if he had been or she had been defeated, theoretically in the future, that's changed January 20, but that still gives them several months for mischief, November to January 20. And Trump certainly took advantage of that here. He would not let his cabinet meet with Biden's incoming cabinet, wouldn't share information, really hurt the country. But in any event, the January 6th insurrection, Trump was still president, technically. Technically, he was still president. So these clowns got up on their hind legs in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, and they said, well, as long as he was president, he can do anything. And the only remedy is if he is impeached by the House and convicted by the Senate. And here, he was impeached by the House for the January 6th insurrection. And about 58 senators voted to convict him. 58% of the Senate voted to convict him. But it requires two-thirds, 67%. And therefore, he can get away with it. One of the judges, and I thought this was a clever question. This is very typical in oral argument. I've had many oral arguments. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, Cincinnati, and many state courts around the country and federal courts. But it's very, very typical that the judges will try to trap you by asking you questions where your position, if you maintain it, seems absurd. Well, here she nailed the guys. So she looks at him and she says, all right, suppose you say that everything that Trump does while he is in office, in other words, technically president, is protected by immunity unless the Congress impeaches him, the Senate convicts him, and then he's dangling out on his own, and then the prosecutors can get him. But if that doesn't happen, prosecutors can't go after him. Isn't that right? That's what you said. Guy goes, yeah, that's what I said. I agree with that. She said, all right, suppose, this is great. Suppose Trump had ordered SEAL Team 6 to murder, to assassinate one of his political opponents. Is he immune from prosecution unless the House impeaches him and the Senate convicts him? And the guy goes, yeah. Well, of course, the House would impeach him and the Senate would convict him. She said, well, hold on for a second. Suppose they don't. Is he then immune for the murder? Yes, the guy says. And she had earlier had said, suppose he sold secrets to the Russians. And by the way, that's not a hypothetical. That's true. When he spread those documents out in the bathroom, in the dressing room, in the supply room in Mar-a-Lago, when he did that with no locks, you know who got their paws on it. You know who got their paws on it. That was the Ruskies, the Chinese. How many people who work at Mar-a-Lago, who attend fundraisers as guests, weddings as guests, crash the wedding, how many of them do you think are spies? Quite a few. Some have been identified. Some have been identified as Russian spies. You think they maybe didn't go into the dressing room in the bathroom? Say, excuse me, can I use the restroom? Stuff lying around. Trump's also the guy, by the way, you remember, told the Ruskies some piece of intelligence that the Israelis had given him because they penetrated the Al-Qaeda inner circle. And they realized that once he disclosed it to the Russians would disclose it to Iran, Russians would disclose it to Saudi Arabia, and the Israeli agent there would be killed, and they had to withdraw him. They had to withdraw him. And he's also the guy that told an Australian billionaire how close our submarines can get to Chinese submarines without being detected by sonar. That's top secret. That got spread around to about 40 people, including the Chinese. He runs his mouth partly to repay the Russians, but partly to boast. Even though he's president, he has such a fragile ego, he has to boast. In any event, let's get back to the immunity deal. So he's saying whatever he does, including the murder of a political opponent, that's fine and dandy unless the House convicts, impeaches him and the Senate convicts him. Well, the House did impeach him because Nancy Pelosi was in charge. But let me tell you something. There are 67 senators are never going to vote to convict Donald Trump for anything. Anything. 58 is all they could muster. 8 votes. Actually, 7 votes over the 51 that the Democrats had. When he launches the insurrection, people are killed. Officers are brain damaged. 140 of them are seriously injured. There's over 1,000 convictions. Only 7 Republicans went along that. With that, if he had ordered a murder, I do not think you would get 67 senators. Do you really think you'd get Mike Lee of Utah? Do you think you'd get Ted Cruz? How about Josh Hawley? How about Ron Johnson? There is nothing he could do, literally nothing, because they're afraid of him and they're afraid of his base. So what's going to happen in this immunity business? Well, let me give you some polling results. 64% of Americans say that Trump should not have immunity. In other words, said that no president should be immune from prosecution for crimes that he committed in the White House. 64%. But the breakdown is fascinating. 69% of Republicans say, yes, he should be given immunity. Only 14% of Democrats think he should be given immunity. But 32% of independents think he should be given immunity under all circumstances. under all circumstances. One of the things that they're not keeping in mind is there is another court in New York, the Court of Appeals in New York, who ruled about, what, a week ago, that he did not have immunity for the E. Jean Carroll defamation. Now, that's a much, much, much lower bar. And they said even if he says something defamatory, in other words, that he damaged her reputation, he's not immune from suit over that. Whereas the clowns arguing for him, the D.C. Court of Appeals just said he has immunity if he commits a murder. That, to me, was a foolish, foolish argument to make, because when they get trapped into that, there's nobody out there. Although apparently 69% of Republicans, so maybe I'm missing something here, but no rational person should say that if you had a president who basically puts a hit out on a political opponent, that he's immune from prosecution. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. I don't care if you went to law school. I don't care if you like Trump. I don't care if you don't like Trump. Let's have some basic minimal standards here. Some basic minimal standards. But there's very little doubt in my mind that what's going to happen is that that Court of Appeals is going to say, no, there's no way he has immunity. They can proceed. And then it gets to the six tarantulas. And I think the tarantulas, the six of them, are going to have a very, very hard time going along with them on that one. Going to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jean. What's on your mind today?
Welcome back, Matt. We missed you.
Thank you.
It's great to hear your voice and great topic. Another thing I was thinking of, you know, when those judges were asking those questions, I'm thinking to myself, you know, what if he gets kicked at one of those judges and he puts a hit out on one of them? Or what if he threatens to put a hit on the Supreme Court justice? I mean, these people are, you know, the people that support Trump aren't thinking clearly. Because you give a man this much power, everybody has to kowtow in the United States of America to this man. Pretty scary thought, independents, wake up. Hey, thank you, Matt, and keep up the great work. Bye.
Yeah, thank you, Jean. You know, you really provide insights that don't occur to the average person or the average lawyer. Right. And maybe the thing should have, what if they put out a hit on me? They should have said to the, the clown would have had to say, well, that's okay. John of Boaz, my friend. Thanks for calling, John. What's in your mind today?
Between you lawyers and the captain of our ship, why don't they bring women on board? Is it bad luck, or is it because they might be ovulating?
I don't know what you're talking about. When you say on board, the Navy has admitted, when I was in the Navy in the early 70s, they had women, but they were in the nurse corps and so forth. But there's complete integration by gender of the military right now. And the ship I was on, the USS Opportune, ARS 41, has the distinction of having had the first female commanding officer in the Navy. She was put in as commanding officer in the early 90s. So you're talking like 19th and 18th century, John. Okay, coming up, I guess what? The Letitia James is going to take a bigger bite out of Donald Trump than he realized was coming.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Current Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andrew. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, welcome back. And it was hilarious listening to myself on yesterday's Best of Show. I got a big kick out of that. Matt, this whole argument about immunity is the most ridiculous thing anybody has brought to court ever. I mean, if the Supreme Court gets into it and decides, yes, the president has absolute immunity, Biden could immediately declare himself king, get rid of the Congress and stuff. I will just have my cabinet as my advisors, you know, and he could have Trump either imprisoned or killed. Immediately, Biden could take over. What is their thinking? This is so stupid. Help me out, Matt. Bye-bye.
Well, I agree with you and with Gene Beauclair. And let me, Gene actually presented the real killer question. It's not whether the SEAL Team 6 could assassinate his political opponent, but could SEAL Team 6 assassinate the judges who are deciding the case, and then he goes scot-free, because you're not going to get 67 senators with that number of Republicans who will object to anything he does, because he has laced his message with threats. It's not just carrot and stick. It's very few carrots and plenty of threats. And there was one congressman, I've said this before, who had his middle school daughter, you know, like seventh or eighth grade, had to have security to go to school. She had to have a security guard go with her to school because he had, I think it was either the guy that voted to impeach Trump or had said he wasn't supporting him, and Trump shot his mouth off. When you have to have security for your seventh or eighth grade daughter going to school, this is a very sick, sick party. And I'll tell you something else, just from an historical perspective. We're talking blithely about this because everybody goes, well, you know, he really wouldn't do it. Well, don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. In 1932, in Germany, after Hitler became the chancellor, and he won a lot of votes. He won a plurality, not a majority, but a plurality of the vote. So they made him the chancellor. And he came across as a lot meeker than Trump. He didn't say a lot of this kind of stuff. He said a lot of things like, we just want peace, peace with our neighbors, peace with Poland. What we want is we think that the Versailles Accords are too stringent. Well, there's all reasonable kinds of things you can say. And, oh, by the way, it's okay with you. I would like to suspend the Reichstag, which is their Congress. I'd like to suspend our Congress for 4 years so I can clean up the situation. There's high unemployment, high inflation. I want to take care of business peacefully, and then I'll restore the Reichstag. And the morons go, oh, okay. The minute the fangs come out, he's a werewolf. The minute that happens, he starts to kill people. His street gangs, Nazi street gangs, had already been killing people. Trump already egged on January 6th. A lot of them, no question, were people who they got lathered up by him and that are fundamentally not bad people, even though a lot of them have been convicted. But there were a handful of sociopaths. There were a handful of violent, violent, vicious people. And you have people in the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, the Oath Keepers, you have people in the Ku Klux Klan. And for Trump's lawyers to say, well, technically it's okay if he orders the assassination of someone as long as the Senate doesn't convict him. And take a look at the senators. Do you really think that, start with Josh Hawley, Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, Ron Johnson, a lot of these other clowns, do you think that they would vote to convict him and expel him from the presidency if he ever, God forbid, got in again for any reason? They do not want to have to hire security to escort their children. They do not want to have to hire security. They are afraid. He has already manifested Hitlerian impulses, but he does it. And remember, this all is consistent with culture. In other words, Adolf Hitler couldn't come across now in the United States, and Trump couldn't have come across in other kinds of societies and cultures. But Trump comes across as sort of affable, shrugging, saying extraordinary things, but with kind of an ah shucks demeanor. That's a mask. That's a mask. You can't have lawyers who are going to go into court and say that he cannot be criminally prosecuted for arranging a murder of a political opponent or anyone else in a free society. We're talking about the peaceful transition of power. They're not even talking about that. They're talking about preemptive assassinations. This is the Republican Party. This is the Republican Party. And remember, Ron McDaniel had been on the phone with those election people in Michigan urging them to take a dive. That was the chairwoman of the Republican National Committee. That's who that was. And everybody goes, well, okay, yeah, that's something, isn't it? Yeah, well, that is something. That is something. It's something very, very wrong is what it is. So all you can say is, legally speaking, Trump's not going to win this immunity thing. And I don't think even the six tarantulas will go with immunity. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're up. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, what's going on now, it kind of reminds me of some of the history I've seen about ancient Rome, that when the Republic was collapsing, that there was assassinations and poisonings and blackmailings and all kinds of other nefarious stuff that was going on that led to the fall of the Republic. And this is with Republicans openly talking about supporting a man who would murder people, I mean, that, and not just leaders, I mean, actually individual citizens that they talk about doing this kind of thing to. And that, with everybody, potentially packing these days because of, the way they've got concealed carry laws set up, across the country, I mean, that you could get away with murdering somebody, just say that I felt threatened and that you were defending your life when you shot somebody down. I mean, that's what happened to the old West. I mean, that it's absolutely insane, because we've got some of our Republican, some of our Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin that have some very, that are not out there condemning what Trump is saying. I mean, they're just, and they're tacitly giving approval to what Trump is saying. They're calling, most of us vermin and people need to be eliminated. And that it is just, it's kind of scary. I mean, that, I'm not at the point that I'm going to start carrying my, any of my weapons around with me aside when I'm out in the field hunting, but when does the ball break? And everybody's going to have to feel they need to feel it necessary to arm themselves.
Right. Yeah, that's an excellent call, Mark. It's an excellent call, because this is the slow diminution of our democracy, because right now it's all talk. But when you have people in a political party backing up that kind of talk or not criticizing it because they're afraid that they are going to be threatened themselves, he has poisoned the Republican Party. We can't allow him to poison the United States. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather. We're going to talk quickly about Letitia James and the bite she wants to take out of Trump. And then a budget deal. And I'll give you some predictions about that.
This This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. A big winter storm is moving across the country, says the Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Bettis.
On the heels of this one comes another one Friday into Saturday. It also produces a large swath of snow in places like Chicago. Detroit, also a target here. Some of the snow totals going into the weekend could top a foot.
The White House is still dealing with Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's decision to keep his week-long hospitalization a secret, NSC spokesman John Kirby.
At no time was the ability for the United States military to defend our national security interests compromised.
Austin was being treated for prostate cancer. Moody's Analytics says office vacancies hit a record high in the fourth quarter of last year. CBS News business correspondent Jason Brooks.
Hybrid work models have effectively muted office demand, making 2023 the most downbeat for the commercial real estate sector since the great financial crisis 15 years ago.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. New technology developed in Wisconsin could help doctors detect developmental disorders before a baby is born. The University of Wisconsin in Madison says it's currently focused on autism, ADHD, and other disorders that aren't usually diagnosed until later. Republicans say they'll shut down the federal government if they don't get a deal to shut down the border. Congressman Brian Steil on WISN-TV's Up Front.
We're fighting about whether or not we should be mopping up the mess on the floor. I say, turn the spigot off. And you turn the spigot off by actually ending the illegal immigration in the United States and securing the border.
Democrats note that lawmakers have passed on several opportunities to update immigration laws, but haven't. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warnings continue. Snow showers and windy. Gusts at times 30 to 40 miles an hour with areas of blowing snow. Up to another inch this evening with snow tapering overnight. It looks mostly cloudy for tomorrow. High temperatures in the low 30s. Right now it's 31.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM, WFHR.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on Locally Grown Radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM, WFHR.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A winter storm warning in effect now. Temperatures above freezing, creating a rain and snow mix, turning to all snow after 3 o'clock, with heavy snow bands at times and winds whipping up to 40 miles per hour. 2 to 5 inches is likely by the lake, with 5 to 8 inches possible further inland. Right now, it's 30.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going right to the lines. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bob?
Oh, the insurrection, the term insurrection. The last time it was Fort Sumter, and this time it's the national capital. And then there's the phony war. You know, nothing happens for a long time while they get the troops up to the field and so forth. Now we have this low-grade insurrection going ever since. We've doubled mass murders, and a lot of them have mega profiles and so forth, if you look into that. And all this threats on the legal system and on the electoral system, this constant threats, this is low-grade guerrilla war from the insurrectionists against us. And, you know, the talk radio people, they're all... totally at war against liberals. You know, we're demonized. We're described as these awful people that really are a projection of what they are, and they think that we have the same moral, degraded, devious, ornery, angry profile that they have. When they try to describe us, they think that we're just like them, and we're not. We want everybody to do well, you know. We want a society where everybody's doing well. We're not envious and petty. So, what do you think of that?
Well, no, that's very, very well said, and it's an overarching look at it. And I think you nailed it quite well. I distinguish between among conservatives. You know, you have conservatives like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, who I think are upstanding people. I might disagree, and you might disagree on any individual issue, but when it comes to the integrity and commitment to the peaceful transition of power and opposition of violence, I think that they are they're very solid. So, but the rest of them, the Freedom Caucus types in particular, and you know, there's some that are obvious about it, and that's people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz and all that, Paul Gosar. But there are also people who go along, and a lot of them are doing it venally, simply for power and money, prestige. But some of it, I think, some of them are physically afraid. Physically afraid. When you get death threats and they're directed towards your children and your wife and your family in general, or your husband, you take that into account. There's been a lot of resignations by Republicans who frankly don't want to be in this toxic stew. And Donald Trump has gotten away with threatening and launching death threats against prosecutors, judges, against political opponents. And he is immune. And why is he immune? From threats, because he has Secret Service protection for the rest of his life, and so does his wife. When he goes out anywhere, there's a team of Secret Service people who are keeping people back, frisking them, looking for danger, and it's at our expense. And yet he's the one that advocated that Hillary Clinton lose protection, and that the Second Amendment people take after them. We don't say that. I don't say that the Second Amendment people, because there are more of them in the Democratic Party than the Republican Party. There are more guns and combat veterans and people who know how to use guns in union halls than there are in hedge fund conference rooms. But I don't say that. I do not say that Trump should lose his Secret Service protection. And the reason I don't say that is because I believe in the peaceful transition of power. And I believe in a democracy without violence. And we've had a democracy without violence advocated by anyone since the Civil War. And now it's come back to us. It's come back to us through Donald Trump and through people in the Republican Party who are chicken, people in the Republican Party who want money, prestige, and power, and see violence, the threat of violence, as a way to get it. And there are also people in the Republican Party who aren't chicken, and they don't want it, but they're afraid for the death threats against their families, which Trump has instigated. So, you can say it's guerrilla warfare. It's multifaceted. It's generated by Trump, and there are different motivations for people going along with it. But I appreciate the call, and you're exactly right. Exactly right. Well, quickly, and we know that Letitia James is now saying $250 million isn't enough in that New York litigation for fraud against Trump in front of Judge Erdogan. No, $250 isn't enough. $370 million, it's over a third of $1 billion, is what he should pay. Turns out she's done her homework. She took a look at the evidence. She had her staff look at the evidence. And in interest saved alone by his lying about the valuation of his properties, he made $168 million for that alone, to say nothing of the other fraud. What is Erdogan going to do? Erdogan is already, that's the judge, has already ruled on summary judgment that Trump committed fraud and that it was actionable, that it caused damages. And now he has to pick a number. Does he pick the 250? Does he pick the 370? I think that what he does is not some pro forma picking of a number just to hustle this along, although he is going to come out with a decision this month. I think what he does is he very carefully explains why he came to the number. He's going to go through the expert testimony. He's going to go through the accounting testimony, the numbers. And then he's going to say, here's what Trump made fraudulently in saved interest. And here's what he made in bank loans in terms of the rates that he got. And here's what he made in everything else having to do with a loan when you are a high net worth individual with properties that are really worth something, so that the lender is protected, and when you're a semi fly by night operator like Trump. And so remember, six of his properties went bankrupt. He personally never had to declare bankruptcy. Six of them casinos. How do you go bankrupt in a casino, for Pete's sake? But that, you know, the odds are stacked against the gamblers. They only pay out the good ones, I think, 92% of the money bet, and the bad ones, 88%. And the clown went bankrupt six times, but avoided personal bankruptcy, even though most people don't know he had a personal guarantee on one of them. They could have put him in bankruptcy. But early on, probably as a favor to his father, they didn't do it, which is a big mistake, a very, very big mistake. So stand by. I don't know what Erdogan's going to come up with, but I don't think he's going to come up with a smooth number just because somebody said to him. I think he's going to come up with a number that really survives appeal. And that's what he's got to do. And I think that's what he is going to do. Well, good news announced over the weekend. It's developing somewhat. I want to talk about it right now. Mike Johnson, to my great surprise, Mike Johnson and Schumer agreed on a budget. They agreed on a budget. Part of this may have been because the Republicans are probably very tired, and I'm not the only one, and you're not the only ones talking about it, about how they are knifing the United States, shutting down the government, adding billions in interest because we lost our credit rating, and giving aid and comfort to our enemies. Mike Johnson is an enigma to me. Mike Johnson comes across as sort of a sanctimonious guy, sort of a Tartuffe, sort of a guy with shiny eyes, doesn't have a bank account, leaves no fingerprints, says very provocative things. And yet, this is the second occasion where he's done something pragmatic. The first occasion was when he extended, remember, the continuing resolution, a clean one with no poison pills, until January 19 for four agencies and February 2nd for the rest. Well, here's the deal. Schumer and Johnson agreed to a $1.66 trillion budget for the coming year, plus an additional $69 billion for further domestic spending. Here's how it's broken down. A little over $886 billion for defense, a little over $772 billion for domestic. That was the agreement between Biden and McCarthy back in the spring. And then Biden said, look, that's not enough, frankly, not enough domestic spending. And they agreed on an additional $69 billion for domestic spending, non-defense. They agreed on it. And the $69 billion was a handshake deal, but the rest of it was passed by the Congress. And that is the budget. And what these right-wing Freedom Caucus types are trying to do is ignore their own statute. Ignore their own statute. Now, who is behind this? Mike Johnson's behind it. Chuck Schumer's behind it. And Hakeem Jeffries is behind it. Hakeem Jeffries has 213 votes. It only takes 218, actually 217 votes right now because there's a vacancy, to pass this thing. That means that Johnson only has to scare up four Republicans. Can Johnson scare up four Republicans? Of course he can. But I think that what's going to have to happen is that he scares up quite a few of them to ward off an attack on his speakership within the Republican Party. The last time that continuing resolution, the clean one, the no poison pills, that passed that to the January 19 and February 2nd dates, respectively, that had somewhere north of 150 Republicans on it. Now, what's sad is there were 221. There were 221 and change back then. 70 of the clowns wouldn't go along with it, posed for holy pictures. But this time, if Hakeem Jeffries can hold his 213, and let's say he holds 205 of those, I think Johnson is in good position to take 150 Republicans. And that is a very tidy number. That's over 350. And Mike Johnson can go to his caucus and go, hey, I obeyed the Hastert rule. The Hastert rule says nothing goes to the floor if it doesn't have more than half of the Republican caucus behind it. Well, half of the Republican caucus right now is about 110 votes, 111 votes. And I have 150, so I'm good. Now, here is the wrinkle. A number of the mouthier clowns of the Freedom Caucus are going, we're not putting up with this. Well, they're impotent, except for one thing, because one vote alone, one representative alone in the Republican Caucus can call the chair, say that the chair is vacant. Then there has to be another vote. He needs 217 votes to stay on his chair. They can easily torpedo him. They can deny him like they did to McCarthy, 8 votes, 10. They could probably deny him 20 votes. He's going to need Democratic votes this time. And unlike McCarthy, who shot his mouth off, going into that last weekend before the vote, the last time, easily 8 Democrats would have voted for McCarthy and kept him in. Not because they like McCarthy. Not because they trust McCarthy, but because he did the deal on a clean continuing resolution, the deal with Biden, and they would say fine because we know it's got to be a Republican. As my
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Nyheim Hines, running back for the Indianapolis Colts and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matchman Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, two extraordinarily clownish things occurred. Doesn't surprise me. Shouldn't surprise you. This is coming from Trump and Elise Stefaniak, who's now the number four in the Republican caucus. Here's what Trump said at a Mason City, Iowa event, at a rally. Here's what Trump just said. He said, the 2020 election was rigged. We're not going to let it happen again. You should all stay in those voting booths. You should stay there and watch it. If you see bags of crap, that's what he said, coming into the booth area, you have got to stop it. You can't let it happen because these guys are crooked as hell. They know how to cheat, end quote. What Trump is saying is that instead of an insurrection this time, instead of storming the Capitol, because there'll be plenty of security this time. If they try that again, they'll be stopped immediately. He's saying, take the insurrection to the voting booth. And there's only six or so states, maybe seven, that make any difference. Because Alabama is going to go the way it's going to go, and New York and California are going to go the way they go. What he's saying is in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Georgia, New Mexico, any place that he deems and that he thinks is Arizona, a swing state, cause a disturbance at the voting place. Go in there and cause a disturbance. Don't leave. He says it. Don't leave. Keep an eye out to see if anything's coming in you think is suspicious. And they think everything is suspicious. Look at poor Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss. They were doing their job for which they were paid. And they would take ballots and take them in like mail sacks and then put them into bins. And because they're African-American women and they don't put any sound on it, they'll say, here are people throwing in crooked votes. That was false, by the way. But people around the country believed it. This is how they are trying to impugn our elections. So here's what this guy says at a Mason City, Iowa rally just now. The 2020 election was rigged. He lies, of course. Quote, we're not going to let it happen again. You should all stay in those voting booths. That's a criminal offense to do that, by the way. You should stay there and watch it. If you see bags of crap coming into the voting place, into the voting area, you've got to stop it. What? You got to use violence to stop it? You've got to grab ballots, a felony. He's advocating a felony here. You can't let that happen, he says, because these guys are crooked as hell. They know how to cheat. Trump is crooked as hell. The Republican Party, with very few exceptions, like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, are crooked as hell, and they know how to cheat. He is describing himself. But that is exactly what he said. So be very careful. about the insurrection being taken to the voting booths themselves. Then Elise Stefaniak, the number four, who has sucked up the Trump mercilessly. You know, she at one time, she has that far northern New York seat, which is, you know, somewhat rural, but it's not necessarily a Republican seat. It's somewhat Republican. Here's what she said. She started out moderate. She started out attacking Trump. Then she realized that she was in danger, and then she immediately went full frontal suck up to Trump, sort of like Trump to Putin. And they asked her. They asked her. This was on NBC, Kristen Welker. They asked her, do you commit to accepting the results of the vote in 2024? And Stefaniak said she won't. She said, I won't commit to certifying the election. And she says, and the Democrats are thugs trying to rig the election. They are trying to rig the election. And she was asked, well, you voted against certifying Pennsylvania the last time around. She did. She voted against certifying Pennsylvania. And she said, well, I heard that there were problems in Pennsylvania. And by the way, I'd mentioned that she said, use the word thugs. She may well have, but the quote that I'm talking about did not have that in it. She said, I won't commit to accepting the 2024 votes. I won't commit to certify the election. The Dems are trying to rig the election. That's the direct quote right there, not the word thugs. What she says otherwise is separate. But she did vote against certifying Pennsylvania. Now, this is the number four in the House, in the Republican caucus. Remember something else. Mike Johnson was one of the leaders on decertification. Mike Johnson was the point person on decertifying, on opposing the certification of Joe Biden. So he's the speaker. Elise Stefaniak is number four. They both in the past have been opposed to certifying the results of a free election. I'll give you some examples of what he could do. Remember, Nancy Pelosi was the speaker during the insurrection. So she controlled the House. But if you have this Mike Johnson, no matter how badly the Republicans do in November, I'm going to throw out a couple of hypotheticals. What if he says, no, you can't use the House of Representatives chambers for the certification at all. The vice president can't come here. And the Senate can't come here, and you can't vote. They talk about it in the Constitution. Theoretically, if the House burned down, you'd think they'd meet somewhere else in a ballroom somewhere. But they would throw constitutional uncertainty in. Suppose that Mike Johnson, with Elise Stefaniak backing him up and probably Steve Scalise, says, I'm in doubt, we're going to throw it to the House. One vote each. There are more than half the states that have Republican delegations, and Trump would be president. Suppose he does that. That's clearly unconstitutional, by the way. That goes to the six tarantulas. They don't need a gallows. They don't need to say, hang Mike Pence. They can do it that way and use the tarantulas. Be very aware of this. Be very aware of what Trump and Stefaniak and Mike Johnson are doing. Coming up, a lot of news and weather, and I'll tell you what, we talked about some threats. You will not believe some of the threats that we're going to disclose coming up.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.